Bible, let's turn to John chapter 1. And, see, how many of y'all know that the most important or the most powerful part of your Christianity is your personal relationship with God? That's the most important thing. Because how many know everybody in here, when you came in here today, you brought your relationship with God with you. Okay? And it doesn't matter where we meet. Doesn't matter if we meet in a basement. Nothing wrong with meeting in a church. There's nothing wrong with meeting anywhere. But what makes the gathering special is we all bring God with us. Okay? And how many know Jesus did not die so that... Who is our mediator to God? It's Jesus, right? Jesus, when we pray in Jesus' name. And Jesus is our high priest, and Jesus is the one that has opened a door for us to God. And we, when we have a relationship with God, it's a personal relationship. See, nobody can hear God for you like you can. It's real important to understand that. How many know God wants to speak to you personally? And how many know God wants to lead you personally? You ever had a three-way conversation with somebody? How many know that's a challenge, isn't it? Like, if I come up to Dirk and I tell Dirk, hey, I want you to say this to Rex. Now, I'm gonna tell it to Dirk, but how many know Dirk's probably not going to get 100% of it right? You follow me? He's going to hear some things differently than the way I said it, because that's just how it works. If you look in the Gospels, it's the same way. Everyone's perception is different, right? So if I have a relationship with Rex through Dirk, it's going to be difficult for there to be a real intimacy and a genuine communication, right? And so if I'm trying to have a relationship with Rex through Dirk, and I'm telling him to tell Rex this, and Rex is telling him to tell me this, communication is going to fail. See, there is nobody that stands in between you and God. Can I get amen? Your relationship with God is between you and God, and Jesus is the mediator. Now, God raises up people to feed God's sheep, amen, with the words of God. But bottom line, the most important thing to you is your relationship with Him yourself, amen? How many know there's a certain responsibility in having a relationship with somebody? I mean, it'd be a whole lot easier for someone to tell you what to do than for you to hear God on what to do yourself. And how many know many times people opt for that, and what ends up happening is the kingdom of God is not built, a ministry is built. You hear what I'm saying this morning?
Yeah.
And see, God has no problem with ministry. God has no... How many know ministries are good? Can I get amen?
Yes.
How many know churches are good? Can I get amen?
Amen.
These things are good. These things are important because these are places where people gather. But anytime a ministry is more important than someone's personal relationship with God, things are out of order. Okay? And in that place is when error begins to take place. In that place is where things don't actually flourish the way they're supposed to be. I cannot have a proper relationship with Rex through Dirk. I've got to have a relationship with Rex through Rex. You follow me? And that's what God wants for all of us. He wants us to have a personal relationship. Now, how many know under the old covenant, they didn't have a personal relationship with God?
Right.
How many know they always had a representative? In other words, the prophet would come and the prophet would represent God. And everything the prophet said would be straight from God. You follow me? And then the priest would represent the people to God. You follow me? The people could not have their own personal relationship because sin had not been destroyed through the body of Jesus Christ yet. So there was unrighteousness in man, so man needed someone to represent him. How many know Moses represented God to the people, and Moses represented the people to God? So Moses was a mediator. Moses was a go-between. But how many know God hungered for the day when he could move inside of your body and have a relationship with you, and you became the temple of God? See, it was never God's perfect will for us to have a relationship with him through somebody else. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I mean, we talked about the same, though. I can't have a proper relationship with Rex through Dirk. You follow me? Well, we can't have a proper relationship with God through Moses. We can't have a proper relationship with God through anybody else. Jesus came and died and rent the veil so we could know Him and see Him face to face and have a relationship with Him. So when the saints congregate together, you bring your relationship with God with you, and we are all empowered by our own personal relationship with God. Can I get amen? And what ends up happening, we become a body, we become alive, we're growing, we're organic, and not one person is lording over and controlling another person and telling them what God is telling them. Can I get amen?
Amen.
The prophets of the New Testament are not like the prophets of the Old Testament. Under the Old Covenant, an Old Covenant prophet would stand up and he was the mouthpiece of God. If his prophecy didn't come to pass, they killed him. That's how they rolled in the Old Covenant. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people, you know, got smote here, got stoned here. But the Old Testament, the New Testament prophet does not give you direction for your life. You need to know that. Jesus didn't come and die so a man could lead you. The New Testament prophet confirms the direction that God has already given you.
Yes.
Can I get amen?
Yes.
Because how many know the Spirit of God is within you? How many know the Spirit of God is within that prophet? That prophet stands up, speaks prophetically, and confirms what's already inside of your spirit. If that's not a reality, then what ends up happening is that prophet is set in a position that they're not supposed to be in. And they end up becoming a mediator between you and Jesus. And that prophet begins to direct your life and not the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Now listen to me, that's unfair for that prophet. Because it is a tremendous responsibility for any man to hear God for all people. That's unfair to that prophet. And it's unfair to the people. Because the people don't have a New Testament relationship where the Spirit of God leads them. What ends up happening is they step into an Old Testament relationship, and that prophet becomes like Moses to them. And how many know Moses never led anybody into the Promised Land? The reason Moses led nobody into the Promised Land, because Moses represented the law. Who led him into the Promised Land? Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can lead you into the Promised Land of your own life. Now, I'm not discounting the prophetic. The prophetic's awesome. I got a prophetic gift myself. But that prophetic gift is to exhort, to encourage, to build up, and to confirm what's inside of somebody else. And when that prophetic gifting is perverted, what ends up happening is that individual starts lording over other people and controlling him. And those people look at the man of God as if he is God. And they start exalting the man, and everything falls because the Spirit of God cannot lead you where the law's light is shining through a man's own personal conviction. The Spirit of God can only lead you under grace and under the new covenant. Okay? Now, this freaks out people that come out of that because they start thinking, well, if we don't control the people, how on earth can we do this thing? They start thinking, we can't do it. We've got to control the people. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the reality is there is no greater control in your life than the Spirit of God and the love of God constraining you. Can I get amen?
That's right.
You cannot, it is too difficult for a leader to try to control the people themselves. No, we're not to control the people. How do you know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, what happens is the Spirit of God can lead everybody individually. And what ends up happening is we come together properly. How many know if I've got to get permission from my finger to use my other hand every time I do it, I'm going to be a slow walking person? Index finger. I need the hand to grab a donut. Can I get permission for that? I'll think about it. You know what I'm saying? I would starve to death. So my body doesn't work like that, does it? How many know that when I move, it's a result, all my nerve synapses and all everything works together and moves. God wants His body to be alive with His Spirit leading His body into all truth. Now what happens is we can't control the people anymore. They got to have a relationship with God, and the Spirit of God's got to lead them. Can I get amen? And what ends up happening is they begin to enjoy being a Christian as opposed to being under the burden of another man's conviction. And then people will actually want to come hang out with us. And we won't have to make people come to church. Because people won't come to church to be in bondage. People will come to church to be set free and know God for themselves. Can I get amen? How many of you know there is no orchestrator like the Holy Spirit? God orchestrates much better than man does. It's unfair to expect a man to be a Moses when that man's actually, you know what men of God and women of God are called to do? We are called to point to Jesus Christ. That's our job. We point to Jesus. That's it. Can't take much credit, can we? A pointer is not glorified, are they? How many know the light that the moon shines is not its own? That's why we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Because it's His glory, it's His light, He gets all the credit. Amen?
Amen.
In John chapter 1, we take a look here at Jesus. And John chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made." We're talking about Jesus here, amen? "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light." Say, "the light."
"The light."
"That all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. We know that light is Jesus." Now listen, folks. Jesus, how many know Jesus referred to, He said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus is light and is truth. How many know that before Jesus came, people did not perceive God correctly? Can I get amen? Because when people... How many know under the old covenant, understanding God as a Father was not there? Understanding a God of grace and love and mercy, under the old covenant, we did not see God truly revealed. Jesus came to reveal the invisible God. He said, "If you have seen me, you've seen the Father." What did we see Him do? Did we ever see Jesus judge anybody? Did we see Jesus ever condemn anybody? Did we ever see Jesus act like He was better than somebody else?
No.
Even one time. Never. Right? And did we see Jesus heal people? Right? So we saw Jesus love children. We saw Jesus make time for people that nobody else would make time for. We saw Jesus hang out with sinners. We saw Jesus spend time with unworthy people. We saw Him heal. We saw Him set free. And we saw Jesus shining the light of who God was. Can I get amen? And those that thought they knew who God was tried to kill Him. How many know the sinners didn't kill Jesus? It wasn't the prostitutes that tried to kill Jesus. Who tried to kill Jesus? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They had a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. You know what the power of God is? It's Jesus Christ. The power of our Christianity is Jesus Christ. How many know without Jesus we's all going to hell? Can I get an amen? It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. He did everything for us, and now He has given everything to you as a gift. There is not one person here that's going to earn anything from God. How many know you can't earn healing? How many know you can't earn finances? Can I get an amen to that? How many know there is nothing that you can earn from God? Because if you earn something from God, you would cause Him to be a debtor to you. And how many know God owes nobody anything? Can I get amen? But what man wants to do, man always wants to bring God into a debt and merit system with Him. Because how many know if we can earn things from God, that means that one person could earn more stuff from God than somebody else. Right? And if one person says, "Dirk's earning more from God than I am," that means Dirk's more righteous, more holy, and more spiritual. Now Dirk can boast that he's better than me. Can I tell you something this morning? There is nobody in this place that's any better than anybody else. All of us in here, we are equal in Christ Jesus. Because how many know all of us were going to hell without Jesus? Jesus made us right with God. We did not do it. Can I get amen?
Amen?
So everything, God owes us nothing, but He will give us everything through His grace, through a gift. How many know grace is unmerited, unearned? We cannot earn anything from God. So what it does is, it puts all of us in a place of equality, And now we can be thankful to God, and we can believe in him, and he will richly and freely give us all things. And one person is not going to think they're better than somebody else. Can I get amen? If it all comes through Jesus, then nobody can boast in themselves. Can I get amen? That's reality. Now, Jesus is alive. Now, I got just an example here because this is just what was made clear to me. How many know if we turn all the lights out in this place?
Oh, Jesus.
Here we go. See how smart I am. How many know if we turn all the lights out in this place and we had total darkness and we had this flashlight right here and it was sitting in the floor? The closer we are to this flashlight, the easier it is for us to be able to see. Yeah. The farther away we get from this flashlight, the harder it is for us to see. Can I get amen on that? Okay, Jesus is the light. And the closer we are to Jesus, the more clearly we see. And the farther away we are from Jesus, the more clearly we do not see. Now let me explain that to you. How many remember back when you first got saved? Everybody remember? Remember when you first got saved, you were full of joy. You were full of peace. You were so happy. Everything was beautiful. Everything was wonderful. When you first got saved, ladies and gentlemen, you were very, very close to Jesus. Because how many know you did not earn your salvation? Can I get an amen? How many know you can't earn heaven? You receive Jesus Christ and you are saved. So what's interesting to me, and I bring this out all the time, we get somebody and they first get saved. They're full of love, full of joy, full of peace, telling everybody about Jesus. All their prayers are getting answered. Yeah. And then 10 years down the road, they're full of anger, full of bitterness, depression. None of their prayers are getting answered, and they become a religious bigot who thinks they're better than other people. Anybody ever experienced that before? Or been that person before? I said, praise God. So why is it this person that just got saved is more spiritual than this person that's been saved for 10, 15, 20 years? Okay, this person started out with Jesus. Simple. Can I get an amen for the simplicity of the gospel? This is a simple message. The reality is this. Men can't save themselves. Men cannot do anything for themselves. They can't heal themselves. They can do nothing for themselves. When you met Jesus, the simplicity of the gospel, you said, Lord, save me. He did. You entered into a relationship with him based on grace. Based on him giving you something that you did not deserve. Who earned your salvation for you? Jesus did he not? Who earned your healing for you? Jesus did. Who earned your provision for you? Jesus did. Who earned your protection for you? Jesus did. If Jesus earned it, then we cannot boast in obtaining it. And so here we are. Here we are. You and Jesus. You're seeing him face to face. Wonderful. Relationship is great. Now, how many know you still got mistakes in your life? How many know when I first got saved, man, praise God, I was doing all... I wasn't raised in church. So there was a whole lot of stuff I didn't know. But how many know God met me where I was at? Yes. And loved me and knew me? Yes. Even though I was still doing stupid stuff. I mean, I got saved and I'd pray over my food in the break room. I used to, I'd pray over my food. I worked in this factory and I'd pray over my food. And then I'd spend the rest of the day cussing like a sailor. Well, give me that blankety blank over there. I told you. And then I sit down and pray. Everybody's looking at me like, man, what religion this guy is? You know, but the reality is this. I was not in a religion. I had a relationship with my hero. I had a relationship with somebody who saved me, found me the way I was, and made me right with God based on his blood. And so me and Jesus, we have this real, genuine, living, breathing relationship. And then I'm a Christian for a few years. And now I've got time to do things wrong and to do things right. The things you do right can be more deceptive than the things you do wrong. Because how many know when you start doing some things right, you start thinking you deserve something from God? Well, God, I teach Sunday school. If anybody deserves to be healed, it's me. I do this. I witness to people. I give to people. If anybody deserves to be healed, it's me. That statement is a statement removed from the light of Jesus Christ. Because that statement is based on man and not on Jesus. You hear me? How many know you can't earn healing? Well, God, I've confessed 100,000 times. If anybody should be healed, it's me. Who's the attention on again? Me. So when we start looking at the things that we have done to deserve things from God, we are stepping away from Jesus and we're stepping into religion. We are stepping into darkness. Every step away from Jesus is into darkness. You ever notice that after the early church formed and ran its course for its season, and Paul said, when I leave, grievous wolves are going to come in. When I leave, darkness is going to come in. And they had that period of time, what they called the Dark Ages. And I'm not knocking anybody or any organization, but when you remove Jesus from the gospel, you have a man's gospel that produces man results. How many know, and I'm not dogging the Catholic Church by any means, because there are great people who are Catholics and they believe in Jesus, but how many know Mary can't save you? How many know Hail Marys can't save you? How many know there is nothing that you can do that can save you? So listen, folks, the devil is not anti-God.
No.
It's very important to understand that. The devil, he loves things in the name of God. He can build kingdoms in the name of God. But listen, folks, how many know God, the word God, can't save you? Because the word God does not have a face. How many know when an athlete stands up, or a rapper, or a rock star, says, I just want to thank God, everybody's cool with that. But when someone stands up and says, I just want to thank Jesus, they just drew a line in the sand, and they put a face on their God, and they took a stand for truth, because Jesus said, no man gets to the Father but by me. You follow me? That's why Christianity is not real popular, because it draws a line in the sand. You following? So the devil loves things in the name of God. How many know there are tons of religions on this planet in the name of God? And all of them are based on man. Man's works, man's ability to earn God's favor. So the devil is not anti-God, he's anti-Christ. Because when you remove Jesus from the center, you remove the light, and men begin to build things based upon themselves. How many know in the Dark Ages, they had totally removed Jesus Christ, and everything was built and based on other men? And how many know men became gods and not Jesus Christ? They wouldn't even let the common people have a Bible. Wow, it's quiet in this charismatic basement. And listen, it's an easy thing to do, because what people think is, you know, all right, we got Jesus, and now, you know, we need to go on to deeper things. How many know there's nothing deeper than Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Listen, folks, you know who the Holy Spirit is? The Bible talks about in Galatians. It's the Spirit of His Son. God labels who the Holy Spirit is. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of His Son. It's in the book of Galatians. And so I'm not against learning other things, but everything must be Christ-centered. Because if it's not Christ-centered, I'll tell you how you can know if something's Christ-centered or not Christ-centered. If someone preaches something and it brings glory to themselves, it's wrong. If someone preaches something and it brings glory to Jesus, it's more likely to be right. You follow me? And see, the devil wants to withdraw the light. And when the light of Jesus Christ is removed, we're plunged into darkness. Now let's take a look a little closer here. And let's go down to verse 14, same chapter. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. Of His fullness have we all received, grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to talk to you about today is the light of redemption and the light of the law. Okay? Now, how many know when Jesus entered in on the scene, it changed everything? Can you get amen? Amen. How many know there was no new covenant without Jesus Christ? And there really was no new covenant until His blood was spilled. Because when Jesus' blood was spilled, that's when men became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you believe in Jesus Christ today and He is your Savior, you're the righteousness of God. Can I get amen? Amen? You're not the righteousness of Moses. You're not the righteousness of Jeremiah. You're the righteousness of God. And God, and your entire relationship with God is based on the fact that you are forgiven and you have been made right. There's nobody in this room that's more right with God than you are, and there's nobody in this room that's less right with God than you are. Amen? Now, under the old covenant, it was based on this. The old covenant was based on the law. Okay? Now, the law has a light. Now, let me just give you two examples of this. Remember when Moses came down from the mountain, his face was glowing. What was the people's reaction to the light on Moses' face? People ran. You hear me? Because when people saw the light on Moses' face, they were afraid. And they ran from God. Now, when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, remember when Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, his face glowed? Jesus came down the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Bible says that people ran to him. Okay? People ran to Jesus. I encourage you to study it out. Now, we're going to take a look at the difference between these two real quick, because this is the difference. The old covenant is based on man. The new covenant is based on Jesus. The old covenant is based on your ability to please and do what's right before God. The new covenant is based on Jesus' ability to please and do what's right before God. And he gave it to you as a gift, and his love for you causes you to do what's right. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Ain't nothing motivates your heart like knowing you're loved. How many know when you know somebody loves you, you want to live up to their expectations? But when they're holding their approval over you and they're giving it to you sometimes and taking it away sometimes and giving it to you sometimes and taking it away sometimes, that does not produce obedience. You know what it produces? Rebellion and just really feeling bad about yourself. And further than that, no relationship whatsoever. Now, let's step into this a little closer. Romans chapter 3, let's take a look here at verse 19. Looking at the light of redemption and the light of the law. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. It says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, the purpose of the law is to set God's standard. How many know nobody could get to heaven under the law? How many know the law did not produce salvation? And let me say something further than that. The law cannot produce the promises of God. The law cannot produce healing. The law cannot produce provision. Because anytime it's left up to us to earn it, we will fail. Can I get amen? But how many know the Bible says all the promises in him are yes and amen? See, the reality is this. Jesus earned it and gave it to you and me as a gift. So you don't have to earn anything at all from God. Can I get amen? How many know if you earned it, you can take the credit? How many know it's by faith so that we can't boast? Isn't that interesting? Now, right here, let me pop this up. Now,
that's kind of gross.
The law was the light shining on man. Okay? The law was God's light shining on man saying, you have a problem. Okay? This is what I want you to do. And this is what you're doing. God said, you know, I love all y'all, but y'all can't come up here acting like that. Amen. How many don't thank God? God gave us his gift of righteousness and redeemed us so that when we get to heaven, you know, somebody's not going to flip you off on the heavenly streets. And you know what I'm saying? You'd be like, man, what kind of heaven is this? No, it's not going to be like that. So God set the standard. How many know you can't fix a problem till you recognize there is one? And so the light of the law is God shining his light and his standard on you saying, you don't measure up. How many know somebody can't get saved until they recognize they can't save themselves? Amen. And the law is awesome for what it's for. You ever met somebody said, I've never sinned. I'm going to heaven, I've never sinned. Yeah, have you ever met somebody like that before? Witnessing and stuff? You know, I mean, you probably not see that as much in America because we have had the gospel preached. But you go to some other countries, they're like, I don't need Jesus. Why do I need Jesus? Now listen, why did God give the law? To show that person you don't measure up. You're not getting to heaven based on you. Because everybody has broken the Ten Commandments. Can I get amen? And the purpose of that is to shine the light on man and to show man you need help, you need a Savior. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So now the purpose of the law shines on us to show the dirt. To show what's wrong. How many know if I got chocolate on my face, I can go in there and I can look in the mirror and see chocolate on my face. But how many know the mirror cannot clean my face? The mirror can only reveal what's wrong. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
And see, when we got two lights shining from the pulpit, the law, when the law is preached, you feel bad about yourself. When the law is preached, faith is destroyed. When the law is preached, you never feel like you measure up. What are you talking about, Jeremiah? People not breaking out the Ten Commandments. No, I'm talking about this. When it says, when people preach like this, they disqualify God's people and people cannot have faith. When they say, okay, I'm going to give you seven reasons why you're not getting your healing. When I'm going to give you 12 reasons why you're not prospering. I'm going to give you, and what it is, now listen, I'm not dogging anybody. I'm just making the reality. When you, how many know we can always point at you and find a reason why God's not going to do something for you? Okay? Because how many know we all ain't all that cool? Amen. Myself included. How many know we got a flesh? Now, so with that reality, if I show you will never have faith to receive from God. How many know you did not get here this morning by looking in the ditch? You had to look straight down the road to drive. If you look in the ditch, you'll end up in a ditch. The law comes to reveal you, and you will always despair of how lovely you are. Amen? Myself included. So what happens is when the law's light is revealed and the law shines, people feel bad, or some people feel bad, and some, remember the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't feel bad about themselves? No, they did not. In fact, Jesus couldn't save them. Because they did not recognize they needed a Savior. Because they watered down the law to a degree where they could keep some of it. And that law became a pedestal that they stood on and exalted themselves. And they became self-righteous and not God-righteous. How many know there were times when the Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal when the Pharisees were there, but they didn't get healed.
Right.
You know why they didn't get healed? Because they felt like they deserved it. What is grace, ladies and gentlemen? It's unearned, unmerited favor.
Yes.
If you think you deserve it, you're disqualified. Isn't it amazing we see a crackhead come off the streets and get healed and someone be teaching Sunday school for 30 years and die of cancer? Isn't that a horrible thing?
Yes.
One person's receiving it by grace, another person's receiving it based on the degree of law they've kept.
Golly.
And so they're boasting in themselves. It's so sad because you know what? God wants to heal this person because this person deserves it more than that person. But in reality, nobody deserves it. You got to understand this. I'm talking about keeping Jesus at the center. How many know nobody deserves it? So what's awesome is when nobody deserves it, everybody can receive it as a gift. As long as their deserving it is based on the cross and not their own self-effort. See, we shouldn't begin in grace and end up in the flesh. We shouldn't begin in the Spirit and end up in the flesh. We should begin in the Spirit and in grace and stay in it.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be a great day today if you were as happy as the day you got born again? Wouldn't that be a great day? We'd all be a bunch of happy larks, wouldn't we? If we walked out feeling like we felt when we first got saved. You know why you felt that way? Because all you could see was Jesus. You weren't seeing you. You were seeing Jesus. And the reality is, you are just as forgiven today as the day you got born again. If you believe that, you'll walk out those doors and have a great day. How are you going to believe that? You can't look at yourself. You got to look at Jesus. But the law's light is always going to bring you back to you. Can I get amen? And the law's light is always going to show you how you're dirty and you how you're disqualified. So it's a horrible thing when we got the law's light coming from the pulpit and redemption's light. Because redemption's light attracts people, but then they get in and there's fine print. You're like, hey man, Jesus loves you, you're saved, everything's wonderful. Oh, I want that. Okay, sit down, we got some fine print. You're gonna have to do this. You're going to have to do that and this and that and this and that and this and that. And you're way down here and I'm up here. Get over it.
Yeah.
Now, the only reason that happens is because... Amen. The only reason that happens is because there are two lights shining. Let's take a look here a little bit closer. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, please. How many know some light is good and some light can kill you? For real. How many know that, you know, I love the sun. I enjoy being in the sun. But how many know there are some lights, like a light that they use for x-rays and stuff? How many know if that stuff is not protected, it can kill somebody? There is some light that's destructive, and there is some light that gives life. How many know if we didn't have light on this planet, there'd be no life? You know, Jesus is the light and the life of men. And listen to me, when men justify themselves apart from Jesus, they enter into death and darkness. When men are justified by Jesus, they stay in the light. It's a subtle thing, because many times they say, well, I'm justified based on going to heaven. But listen, when you try to do something to earn something from God, you no longer believe God. The opposite of faith is works. It's true. How many know if I do something to earn something, it's no longer a gift? What if I sit down and believe something and say thank you? That's faith. You see the difference? One exalts me, one exalts God. If I do something to earn something, I can boast in what I've earned. If I sit my butt down and receive a gift, I exalt him and his goodness and not me and my goodness. When Jesus is in the center, the light shines. Amen? And truth is there. Let's go a little further. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Who also has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Talking about these two different lights. Verse 7. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation had glory, the ministration of righteousness exceeds more in glory. Now, listen to me. When Moses came down from the mountain, his face was glowing with a glory that was passing away. And it was a glory that showed man his faults. And when people saw Moses, they ran. How many know there was glory in the old covenant? Moses operated in the power of the law, which was to show man that he did not measure up and he needed a Savior. Amen. How many know when you're in the womb, you need an umbilical cord? Yeah. Can I get amen? How many know when you come out of the womb, you don't need an umbilical cord anymore? How many know if I was sitting up here and I was eating out of an umbilical cord? How many know that'd be weird? It'd be odd, wouldn't it? Listen to me. A Christian trying to have a relationship with God through the law is like a Christian trying to feed on an umbilical cord. How many know the knowledge of good and evil didn't bring life? The knowledge of good and evil brought death. What brought life? The tree of life. Who is the tree of life? Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, so the law will always show you how you fail. Okay? The gospel is to reveal Jesus to you. This is in verse 18. I'm going to read in verse 17 and then go to this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now listen, the Bible's intent, see, how many know, it's not how much Bible knowledge you have. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
It's not, how many know the Pharisees, the Sadducees had Bible knowledge, and they killed Jesus?
Amen.
You follow me? Bible knowledge does not produce spirituality. How many know that when in Bethlehem, when, who's that king's name that wanted to kill Jesus?
Herod.
When he was trying to kill the King of Kings, he went and asked the people that knew the scriptures where he was going to be born at. Bible knowledge is not spiritual maturity. Knowledge puffeth up. You know what spiritual maturity is? Knowing Jesus through the Bible. I'm talking about a relationship. How many of y'all have ever seen the evil of religion? How many know it can be one of the most evil things in the world? Do you know what? You know why religion is evil? It doesn't have Jesus in it. When you take Jesus out of the gospel, you have a man-based performance system that is going to cause people to fail and is going to exalt a select group of people and bring everybody else down low. And the promises will be manifest through manipulation. No fault to any of the people. I will never make an accusation against any individual. Amen? The only reason people do things is that's the way they've been taught. Can I get an amen? So you can never accuse the individual, but you've got to shine the light and let the chips fall where they may. Now, unveiled face, beholding as a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are transformed in the image of God. Now listen, you know how you're transformed? Through seeing Jesus. You're not transformed by trying really hard not to sin. Don't think of a purple dinosaur. What happens? You think of a purple dinosaur. I just gave you a law that invited you to do what I told you not to do. Because it took your attention onto the wrong behavior. Okay, good amen. When you look in the ditch, you end up in a ditch. But see, when you open your Bible and you have a relationship with Jesus, you get so caught up in Him that you are changed from glory to glory, and it's not your effort that changes you, it's His strength and His glory and His beauty that changes you. How many know Jesus is beautiful? How many know this? If people could just see Jesus, they fall in love. That's all they got to do, see Jesus. You know what we got to do? We just got to reveal Him. You know how we reveal Jesus? We see Jesus. The light you shine is the light that you're facing. I mean, the moon has no light of its own. But the moon shines the light of the sun. When you are looking at Jesus, the light of Jesus is shining through you, and your gospel's not hid because it's not veiled by a veil and condemnation. How many know a condemned Christian can't witness to nobody? How many know a condemned Christian has no light? But how many know a condemned Christian can get up on another Christian and condemn them and try to force them into doing something? Can I get an amen? You know what I'm saying? What's the motivation behind that type of Christianity? That motivation is for justification. If you're trying to do something to be justified in the eyes of God, your motives are still selfish. But when you know that Jesus has made you right with God, the love of God can flow through you, and you can witness to somebody because you're so full of the love of Jesus.
Amen.
Can I get amen? Amen. How many know when you first got saved, nobody had to tell you to witness to somebody? And the second somebody grabbed you and started telling you to do it, it's when you didn't want to do it no more. See, the pulpit is not a place. Now, certainly, there is a degree of behavior modification. Don't do that. That's scandalous. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk about that. Follow me? But that's the minority. The majority is the pulpit is there to reveal Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you fall in love. And the light that shines from you is the light that shines to you. How many know you can only love to the degree that you believe you are loved? You cannot love somebody if you don't have love coming to you. Can I get amen? Amen. So your most important thing to do is believe that God loves you. What's the greatest witness that God loves you? He sent Jesus to die for you. When you see Jesus, you see the greatest display of the love of God. Amen. Now, we've got a couple more places. And we're going to close here. Now, I picked this up on the internet. I thought it was wonderful.
Oh my God.
See, when we look in the Word, we need to see Jesus. Now, the challenge is, when you see something, you want a visual, don't you? You want your Anglo-Saxon, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus, right? Jesus was a Jew. But see, how many know when the disciples walked with Jesus to the road of Emmaus, He revealed Himself to them without showing Himself physically? The scriptures will reveal to you the face of Jesus. And number one, the work of the cross. Can I get amen? Now, this is a pretty common one. We've all seen this one many times. But how many know, see, I'm not even going to talk about that. Now, I'm going to show you this. Let's turn to John chapter 8. We close right here. This is a great example of two lights shining. We're about to see the light of the law shine and the light of redemption shine. The light of Jesus shine. Now listen, let me just say this real quick. Remember how I was talking about how the law puts the light on you and shows you what's wrong with you? You know what redemption's light does? Let me show you. Pull the props down like Mr. Wizard, you know what I'm saying? Eat some bacon soda and some vinegar, right? Just kidding. This is what redemption's light does. Okay? Redemption's light reveals to you Jesus. I did not come here today to preach to you how awesome I am. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Because if I preach to you how awesome I am, number one, I'd be lying. And number two, and that's the law's light. If I'm talking about me and what I have done, you know what it does to you? It brings you low.
Amen.
Yeah.
See, but if I shine the light on Jesus, when Jesus is glorified, everybody's edified. Can I get amen? Because everything that Jesus is, you are.
Amen.
Can I get amen? How many of the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world? Can I get amen?
Yeah.
And we are transformed by beholding him. How many know we're not transformed by beholding me? If you see me, you will see faults. You will see mistakes. You will see dirt under my fingernails. You will see food in my teeth. I said amen. Praise the Lord. I am not altogether wonderful. I am not altogether lovely. I am a man. Okay? But you know what? My job is to get out of the way and point you to the one who is altogether lovely. The one who is altogether wonderful. And as you see Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus, it will transform you into the same image in your conduct.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Yeah.
A man can't make you, but Jesus can cause you to want to. How many know it's easy to do what's right when you want to do it?
Right.
And the Bible says when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Who is the tree of life? It's Jesus. When you're in love with Jesus, it's easy to do what's right. Can I get amen?
Yeah.
It's not a result of man's strength and willpower. It's a result of Jesus and his grace. John chapter 8, verse 1. Let's take a look at these two lights shining. We'll close right here. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again in the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Now listen to me. I'm going to show you. Here is Jesus. How many know he's the light of the world? And here is, he has a light that redeems. How many know when you got around Jesus, you didn't feel bad about yourself? When you got around Jesus, how many know sinners would come to Jesus? How could sinners come to Jesus? Because they felt accepted in his presence. How many know Jesus was awesome and holy?
Amen.
But how many know he wasn't self-righteous and condemning? How many know sin, you couldn't get sinners away from Jesus? They were drawn to his light. Because his light was a light of love that did not condemn but accepted. And it transformed them into different people. And one of the things the Pharisees hated the most about Jesus is Jesus drew a crowd. Jesus didn't need a publicist. Jesus didn't need people begging to come. Jesus showed up and people came because Jesus was the light of the world. Jesus accepted you and loved you just the way you were. Can I get amen? So here's Jesus, and people are all around him because they're in love with him. They just want to be around him. You couldn't keep kids away from Jesus. They just wanted to be with him because he was free. Y'all hear me today? But here comes the law's light to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Let's take a look at it. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down to the ground and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. Now listen to me for a second. The law has a beautiful purpose. The law is not evil. The law is good. See, how many know if we just sent Jesus and no law, man wouldn't realize he needed a Savior? We needed the law first. See, when you really understand what the law is, it makes Jesus very, very attractive. Okay? The law has a purpose. And Jesus is about to show it. Jesus is about to use the law. How many other times did Jesus use the law? You gotta understand in Jesus' ministry, how many of the new covenant didn't come till his blood was shed? There was times where Jesus brought the law out. Remember when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What did Jesus say to him? He said, "What do you got to do? This and this and this and this and this. I've done all those, Lord. There's one thing you lack." Listen to me. Under the law, there will always be one thing you lack. What was Jesus doing? He was shining the law of the light into this young man so this young man could come to the end of himself. Because this young man was standing in his own self-righteousness. He said, look, son, you don't measure up. The man went away sad. And then the very next chapter, Jesus comes to Zacchaeus. How many know Jesus didn't bring the law to Zacchaeus? Jesus showed Zacchaeus grace. You know why? Zacchaeus wasn't self-righteous. Zacchaeus knew he was a sinner. Zacchaeus knew he was unworthy. Zacchaeus was ripe for salvation. Can I get amen? So you see Jesus sometimes using the law, the light of the law, and then sometimes shining the law or the light of grace and redemption. Amen? Step deeper into the story here. So they're trying to get Jesus to kill this woman because it's what the law says to do. But he stooped down on the ground and started writing. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now listen to me. What did he do? He just... Now how many of y'all, this woman's on the ground? Oh, I got it. No, wait. How many of y'all... Sorry, I'm Mr. Wizard today. How many of y'all, this woman's on the ground, and everyone around her is condemning her. Everyone around her is judging her, and the light of the law is shining on her, and what it's actually doing is showing that she is a sinner, she's an adulteress, and she deserves to die. Jesus stoops down, starts writing on the ground, picks up the light, and starts shining it all on them. He said, okay, if you're without sin, you cast the first stone. Do you see that? Because they were trying, see, people who wield the law, they like to shine the law on somebody, but not on themselves. Can I get amen? How many, they want people to do what they say and not as they do. And so what happens is, he shines the light on them. He says, okay, you can't kill her if you're without sin. He shines, now, how many know the law just proved a point of justice? Because the law is about to set this woman free from her accusers. Because no man has the right to accuse or condemn anybody else. Can I get an amen for Christianity? There's nobody in this room, you have a right to come up and judge and condemn somebody. Even people you don't agree with. You have no idea what they've walked through. You have no idea what they've lived. You have no idea what goes on in their hearts and minds. Now, you don't have to hang out with them. I said, amen. How many of you love folks from afar? But the reality is, when you condemn and accuse somebody, you're condemning and accusing yourself. How many know the judgment you measure out will be the judgment measured back to you? Not from God, but from men. So we can't judge and condemn, because how many know there's only one judge that sees the hearts of people? So there's only one that can truly judge. And he's standing before us in this scenario. So let's see how Jesus handles it. Oh, Jesus is so cool, man. Verse 8, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. What happened? The law, the light of the law shined on them and they all saw their own dirtiness. You following me? Verse 10, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again and said this, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So many times we take that one scripture and we put it on the wall. We don't realize when Jesus said he was the light, it was in the context of people accusing this woman caught in the act of adultery. Y'all hear me today? So what happened is this woman, they have come to condemn her with the law's light and the old covenant. And Jesus shines the light of redemption on her and says this to her, neither do I condemn you. He gave her the gift of no condemnation. And ladies and gentlemen, the new covenant is that same statement to every person on this planet. How many know Jesus did not come to condemn the world but to save it? And Jesus comes to say to everybody, neither do I condemn you. The message of the gospel is a message of no condemnation. Now notice, this is how the church operates as a whole. Don't sin and I won't condemn you. Don't sin and you won't be condemned. How many know that's backwards? If I don't sin, there's no condemnation for me. Can I get an amen? But Jesus does this. He shines the light of his salvation first and says, neither do I condemn you. Go your way and sin no more. Folks, when you know you're not condemned, you have the ability to not sin. When you're seeing Jesus and his light is shining to you and you know that his blood paid the price for your sins and you know that he has made you right and that gift of no condemnation is shining from him, how many know sin is not attractive in the presence of Jesus? Amen. Can I get amen? You know when sin becomes attractive? When your Savior's face is veiled with the law and you feel condemned. And you feel like you don't measure up. That's when sin becomes attractive. Because the Bible makes it very clear, the strength of sin is what? It's the law. You know it's not the bar? You know it's not Marilyn Manson? You know it's not Jerry Springer? I was knocking Jerry a couple weeks ago, so I gave a little shout out. No, I'm just kidding. Do you know what drives people into the bar? It's the law. You know what drives people into sin? Feeling like God's mad at them and them feeling condemned. Can I get amen? Amen? And what's sad is the church has been a place in times past where we bring them in grace and then we show them the fine print and we condemn them to control them because we think that they need a manipulator and not a spirit leader. Talking about the Holy Spirit leader. See, you can't be led by the Holy Ghost and condemned at the same time. The law can't lead you and the Spirit can't lead you at the same time. How many know you got to be married to Jesus or married to the law? If you try to be married to both, it's spiritual adultery. You can't walk in two covenants, either in the new covenant or in the old covenant. And the challenge with the church is we've been preaching a mixture of law and grace, and it's caused confusion to take place. People got one foot in the old covenant and one foot in the new covenant, and they can't even walk and know God. They stay confused. They don't know if God's mad at them or if God's pleased with them, and they built their entire approval based upon the pastor's approval.
Amen.
This is true, folks. How many know that the man of God can be upset with you and God still love you? But if you think that you're receiving your love from God through the man of God, then what happens is his approval becomes a fulcrum or a point of manipulation. Even though his heart can be right towards you, nobody can lead you like the Spirit of God. The bottom line is this, you're approved by God today. You're the righteousness of God. You know why? Because you believe in Jesus Christ. And nobody can take that away from you. And when redemption's light is shining towards you, you can see clearly because your eyes are on Jesus. Can I get amen? And you're experiencing an atmosphere of no condemnation. And then the Spirit of God can lead you. Listen to me. How many know Abraham was never condemned? Can I get amen? Amen. You notice Abraham? Abraham had no condemnation. Abraham is arguing with God about saving Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, what a bold guy. You know why Abraham was like that? Abraham didn't know he was saved. He wasn't saved. Abraham was 430 years before the law. Can I get amen? So Abraham was not conscious of Abraham. Abraham was conscious of this God that had come to him. And how many know Abraham made mistakes? And how many know you never see God judging Abraham? You never see God correcting Abraham? Go look for it. You never see God rebuking Abraham? You know why? Because the Bible says that the gospel was preached before to Abraham. Abraham was under grace. Can I get an amen? And Abraham was the friend of God. And they had a real relationship. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
This is true. They had a living, real relationship. But how many know Abraham couldn't get to heaven until Jesus died? So the law had to come to show man that he was fallen and that he needed a Savior. So the law had a great purpose. The purpose of the law is to direct us to Jesus. Y'all hear me this morning?
Yeah.
And what do we have to do? We got to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. See, because as long as your eyes are on Jesus, see, look, all right, we've heard people say this in times past. Nothing wrong with God, nothing wrong with his word, must be something wrong with you. Anybody ever heard that before? Okay, that's not the new covenant. Under that, you will never manifest anything from God.
Amen.
Because you will always feel like you've fallen short. And you know what? You're right. But this is the new covenant. There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with His Word. And there's nothing wrong with you because you're in Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? And the more you look at Jesus, the more faith you have. How many know Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith? Because Jesus is the one that justifies you and makes you worthy to receive. Apart from Jesus, you are not justified and you're not worthy to receive. Close right here, right here, right here, right here. Shut up, Jeremiah. Hallelujah. The two people that had great faith in the Bible. Okay? The Samaritan woman and the centurion. Okay? The one thing they had in common, they were two people from totally different demographics. One was a man, one was a woman, one was a Roman, a soldier in great authority, and one was a mom. But the two things they had in common was this. They were Gentiles, and they were not law conscious, they were Jesus conscious. Y'all see that? How many know that the Samaritan woman didn't have the law? She wasn't a Jew. She wasn't under the law. How many know the centurion man didn't have the law? He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't under the law. So when they saw Jesus, they didn't have anything disqualifying them from receiving. Can I get an amen? And so when we have the crackhead coming off the streets and knows nothing about God, there is nothing disqualifying him from receiving. He is Jesus conscious and not self-conscious. But then you got somebody in the church for 30 years, and they become law conscious and performance conscious, and they end up disqualifying themselves from receiving from their Savior who gives it to them freely. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And what God's doing in this time is God's taking everybody's attention and putting it on Jesus.
Amen.
How many know before Jesus returns, how many know no wedding is ever done when the bridegroom's not looking at the bride and the bride's not looking at the bridegroom? And so what God is doing right now, He's taking everybody's eyes, getting it off of men, getting off of men's gifts, getting everything focused back onto Jesus Christ. Can I get amen?
Yeah.
Because Jesus is the only one that has qualified any of us to receive anything from God.
Yeah,
and when redemption's light shines, we're having a great time. But when the law's light shines, we all are brought low and there's no faith.
Amen.
Y'all see that today?
Yeah.
So what we got to do? We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen? Okay.
Yeah.